Blue 32! Blue 32! Set!
Hello and welcome to a special edition of The Gray Matters from NFL Times, which once again, we're going to be bringing you our second annual NFL preview, where Andre rants on the likes of Will Levis and the Titans. Paul goes down a conspiracy theory rabbit hole of how the Bengals are somehow going to bingle up this season. And I tried to hide my passion underneath my pain and absolute pungent anxiety. We're going to forecast each division. In this segment, we're going to talk about the last of our divisions, the AFC and NFC North.
The North.
Talk about our playoff predictions. That'll be coming up in another show. And we're going to pick the Super Bowl. We're going to add in a little bit of fantasy here and there with some gambling for good measure. Please note, as always, that none of our comments should be regarded as advice or tips.
None of them.
Because if you follow them, then you clearly have a gambling problem and you need help. However, we are not the place to get said help. There are lots of places out there. Leave us a comment, ask us some questions. We can direct you to those people. But once again, please do not take our advice, our picks, or our comments as gambling advice. With all of that, we're going to chop it up here and have some fun. Andre, who's up first?
All right, so we're going to start off in reverse order this time just because I swear I wish y'all could see our group chat. So we're going to save the AFC for last on this one. You'll understand the reason why in just a moment. But so we're going to start off with the NFC North, which has some new faces, some sophomore faces and things like that. Some old flames that rekindled in Detroit. So we're gonna go around the gambit real quick and kind of see where we lie. So since I know Billy's gonna have a tangent for the next section, we're gonna go ahead and let him start off this time with the NFC North. What you got for me, man?
So I'll make this really simple. I do not see a whole lot of movement in this division happening, although the headlines, all the buzz in the media has been kind of fun, I guess you could say, and entertaining. It's been interesting. I do like a lot of what the Bears have done around Justin Fields. And even on the other side of the ball, I think what they've done with Justin Fields has been very good. I just don't think that some of the hype is going to manifest itself. Certainly not early. I think they're probably a 7-8 win team, which is definitely an improvement for them. Mm-hmm. But this talk about, you know, he's about to make the leap, like, just to get this out the way. Not only is Justin Fields not Jalen Hurts, they don't have anywhere near the roster that the Eagles had last year for him to have a Jalen Hurts type of leap, even if he was what I consider to be on that level. And that's not a diss. Jalen Hurts is an amazing – he's been an amazing player since he was a kid in college. Like, people need to stop acting like Jalen Hurts came out of nowhere last year. The dude was at Alabama balling, okay? Like, let's not pretend like he just kind of showed up. But getting back to Justin Fields, we don't even need to put that kind of pressure on him. Justin Fields actually has had two really bad seasons.
Fields been that dude as long as Hurts been that dude.
But I'm like, saying
let's not.
I'm saying my point is, it's literally the exact opposite of that. That's what I'm saying. Fields, because he has been that guy, because he came in with expectations, whereas Hurts, he slipped out. What was he? Second round pick. And people like, well, is he really going to get the starting job? Should we give him money? Okay, I'm not arguing that. I'm saying that when Fields showed up to Chicago, the expectations on him were not the same as what Hurts had. Stop making the comparisons is all I'm saying. I think that Fields is going to make a leap. It's not going to be a Jalen Hurts leap because there's no Philadelphia Eagles around Justin Fields to do that. Moving on, I think that people are expecting Minnesota to make a like kind of come back to earth. They had, if I'm not mistaken, 11 games that were decided by less than 4 points. Yes. And they like won them. Okay. Well,
they also lost both of their wideouts. They lost right. Thielen and they lost Diggs.
But now, they still have Jefferson. Right? Like they still have Jefferson. And he is a difference maker like very few wide receivers, where it's like, I'm not saying you can just throw them out, roll them out there with a bucket of parts, but you, it's not like they lost their number one. He's still the reason why the field tilts. And so my point is, I don't think they're going to win 13 games or 12 games or whatever they won last year, but I still think they're a double-digit win team.
Hmm.
Or close, like they're 10 win. They ain't 14 win. They're like 9 or 10 win, right? I think that the Lions, yet again, I do believe that they're going to improve. I don't believe that they're going to make this quantum leap. I think people fell in love with them towards the end of last season because of how hard they were playing, how they were competitive. They were making this push for the playoffs. They knocked the Packers out. Everybody kind of, they're the hot team that everybody's thinking is going to make that big jump. Mm-hmm. I do believe they're going to be better, but I think it's going to be like two or three games. But I don't think it. I think Minnesota and
two or three games is like 12 wins, bro.
But my point is, I think Minnesota. Well, here's what I'm saying: two or three wins. I'm saying I think Minnesota and Detroit are going to be probably yes. both in the 10 and 11 win window. It break. You know how it is. You never know how it's going to break. My point is, I don't believe either team is going to be looking at a first round bye. Like they're not going to be competing for the number one.
Do you think they get two in?
I honestly, we haven't gotten there. Yes, I believe they get two in. And I haven't talked about the Packers because honestly, frankly, I don't think that there's a whole lot to talk about. Frankly, there hasn't been a whole lot to talk
about. Shout out to Sean Clifford.
All right. Go Bombers and Sean Clifford. Yeah. And that's about all I got to say about the Packers. I think the Packers are going to be a work in progress. Yes. I do believe that they are coached well enough, and I'm not just talking about the head coach. I'm talking about the coaching staff. I think they're coached well enough to not be a laughing stock. Like, you know, they'll be in that 6-win range somewhere, but mm-hmm. I don't see them. There's no, oh yeah, but you know, now it's the Jordan Love era. No, like. People forget, even with Aaron Rodgers, four-time MVP Aaron Rodgers, people forget when he finally took over after Favre ended his saga, which mm-hmm. tragically is unfortunate how he did the exact same thing to Love. Literally, it's like he followed the Brett Favre playbook that stunted his, you know, career. He did the exact same thing.
How did it? Okay, go ahead.
Well, anyway, the point is, be a better person. All right. Just be a better person. You saw the
it's like, life advice.
I'm saying
right.
It's like, okay, so what? Your dad went upside your head. And now you're gonna go upside. Do better. The way that Brett Favre treated
get these
him,
folks the word real
it
quick.
It was not well the thing is if just Brett Favre, the way he treated him was not necessary. Like you didn't have to be a jerk about it. I mean, granted, you want to keep your job, but you don't have to be a jerk. Like, no, I ain't helping him. Like, who does that?
Maybe Mr. Rogers wasn't very neighborly.
And here's the point. Whatever it is, stop being a crummy human. He's gone. My point is, Jordan
I'm just
Love,
saying, maybe that's why he got treated the way he got treated.
You know what? It's possible you might be right.
You feel
it's
what
water
I'm
under the bridge. You might be right. All I'm saying
it's
is 20 this.
Years ago.
The Jordan Love era is here, and my thing is, you don't get better without reps. He hasn't had enough reps. He just hasn't had enough NFL snaps. Okay. And so it's going to take him some time. My point is, it's not that I don't like the Green Bay Packers. I ain't got nothing against them. I just don't believe he's had enough reps. So I kind of look at it like it's going to be the Vikings and – the Lions, people need to slow down on the Bears a little bit. They are going to be better because you can't get that much talent and be worse, really. But I just feel like the expectations are a little high for them right now. And I think the let's call it what it is, the Packers are in rebuilding mode. So I probably would lean towards, even though I really do like the Lions, I kind of lean towards the Vikings being the class of that division, which isn't saying a whole lot.
Does it again.
Man, listen, begrudgingly I say that, okay, because people who know me know Kirk Cousins is probably one of my – he's definitely in the bottom, like, 10 of my favorite – like, he's one of my least favorite players of the past 20 years for a lot of reasons. It ain't got nothing to do with him. Some of them do, but a lot of it ain't got nothing to do with him. But, you know.
All right.
Mister, you like that? Just – yeah. But he'll probably win a division because he's just that talented. So, there we are.
Mm-hmm. Well, what say you, Paul? That was a revelation for me. Go ahead.
Right. I learned a lot.
Said, oh my. It was a reveal.
Nah, y'all know who I mean, if you've been in our you guys obviously haven't been in our group chat. If you follow us on social, you guys know Jared Goff is my guy. Like, absolutely. That's my guy.
Yeah, he's the captain of the bandwagon because he the only one on it.
Right. Ain't nobody on the bus.
Nah.
It's a big old bus and it's empty. And I get to play all the songs I want to play.
Yep. He runs his route every day.
I get to go where I want to go. Nobody's nobody's tripping. Like, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, I'm a Jared Goff fan. So I'm going to start there as far as the North goes. I like the receiver, old boy, who's the son of the bodybuilder.
Oh, yeah.
Who's also got a kid. He's got another kid. I think he's in Green Bay, if I'm not mistaken.
St. Brown. St. Brown.
Yep, yeah. St. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan of the St. Brown boys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm just a fan of their family. In the same way I'm a fan of the Ball family in the NBA.
This is definitely on brand for you. This tracks exactly with what you, if you don't know Paul, then it wouldn't make sense, but trust me.
Yeah. I'm a fan of their family. Yeah. So I'm going to start there and I believe they will win the division. However, I believe old Cousins is going to be barking up the tree and I believe Love is going to be better than you guys think. I saw a lot of love. pause in Utah.
Right.
So I saw most of his college career, whereas a lot of America was asleep,
right?
Because of the time zone. I think the kid's gonna be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And
I agree
with
that, by the way.
And the fact that they had him sit for as long as they had him sit, I think. What you're going to see is a better Alex Smith. That's what I'm projecting.
Okay.
From what I've seen of him on tape growing up and from what I saw a little bit even of last night or not even last night, the preseason games over the last few years, I see an Alex Smith who's willing to take a few more risks. I think he's going to be pretty good, like pretty damn good. But it's not going to be right now. It's just going to be over time, like a Geno Smith. You know what I'm saying? He's going to take some time. But I think he's going to be good. Of course, Cousins is going to be good. I think they just lost too much in the receiving room. I think losing, you know, it's an embarrassment of riches when you have Diggs and then you have Thielen, right? And then you bring in Jefferson, right? It's like, you know, and of course, historically, going back to having Jake Reed and Carter and Moss, right? Like you feel like you can just find these guys in the couch. And I think that's what's happening in Minnesota. And I think Jefferson is going to learn this year that without another guy, it's going to be hard to find room in that secondary.
it makes defense, the safety is a lot better on the other side of the ball when you don't have help.
Right.
Because his job all week long is to keep an eye on you.
So I'm looking for Minnesota to take a step back.
Right.
And, of course, the Bears, I mean, I love Fields because he's a Buckeye. But,
yeah.
I mean, I want to like Claypool, but I don't trust him.
That's a great way of saying it. Yep.
I believe Claypool could be good for Fields. But I don't believe that he's trustworthy. And then they got Montgomery up out of there. He's also in Detroit, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Detroit got,
Shout out to Mal Healthy.
Yeah.
The Owl.
Shout out to the Northwest
Hootie
Little League program.
Yeah.
And Coach Robert Rachel.
Mm-hmm. Get him, boo.
You understand me?
Oh, yeah.
So he also coached Mayan, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So, you got to – I think Detroit is in the best position personnel-wise. I don't know if Campbell is ready emotionally. I think he's a great coach. I don't know if he's emotionally stable enough
to
handle the ride. But we'll see.
I honestly believe what you just said about Campbell, Paul. That is why I would give the edge to Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And it's not because I don't like Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, he's still a player, though. Like, he still wears the pads. He still
wants to buckle his chin strap.
Yeah. He want to go out there and make the tackle.
I do
sometimes too hard. Yeah, but you got to know when it's time. And it's like he's still living it a little bit. But that's literally for me.
I mean, you kind of get that. You kind of get that vibe from Vrabel as well. But
he let it go.
But you also know that he's let it go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. That's the difference between Campbell and Vrabel for me. Mm-hmm. Is that I can see that Vrabel has let, you know, he's taken his pads off for the last time. And I see Campbell still wants to put his pads back
on. Like, if I put in a good few good weeks of conditioning,
mm-hmm.
and
I can help the team.
I can at least get in there on a couple of
right. I could do punt team, you know what I'm saying? Or you know what I'm saying? Or field goal team, you know. Like I said, as much as I really like Justin Fields, I love him. He just don't have any sort of structure, any sort of stability, any sort of direction. I don't see anything that he can build on to improve or anywhere to go.
Right.
So, yeah. What about you, Dre?
So, I'm gonna be quick, even though I got bombshells to drop.
Bombshells?
Yeah.
I like those.
He flying drones over us, Paul.
Right.
Yeah. Well, part of it, one of it's not a surprise. So I do have Detroit as my pick to win the division. Mm-hmm. I agree with what you say for Dan Campbell. But I think because he gets everybody to play so hard. I laughed my ass off when he was talking about biting kneecaps and stuff like that. But
because mm-hmm. he was serious about it.
Oh, he meant it.
Oh, yeah.
He meant that in the soul.
He was like, let me in show his you. Soul.
Right. A little bit left from 1988. Right.
But because Detroit was so young, I think they bought into that. Whereas that wouldn't have played, I don't think that would have played well with a more experienced roster.
No.
So I think he got them cast to play. Aaron Glenn got the defense to start playing better. At the end of last year, they were bad. But in that last, you know, seven games where they won six out of seven.
Yep.
They started to improve. They started to find a voice. Right. They started to find, you know, a scheme. So, I do have them, especially with, you know, Jameson Williams having a full healthy year. I like the pickup of
pause on that. What's up with his suspension? Is he with the gambling?
He still got the six.
He got the six. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but that's where I like to pick up with David Montgomery. I think that keeps some things simple. I think TJ Hockenson being, you know, or no, he's gone. I'm sorry. That's Minnesota, but they picked up a tight end. I'm sorry. I can't remember what his name is, but the tight end is at least decent. They have really good running backs outside of Montgomery.
They lost Williams though.
I was getting ready to say.
They lost Williams, but I'd still, I mean, we as a former Bengal, Marvin is still around. And so they have some experience. I like the St. Brown kid as well. And then I also like to pick up Jahmyr Gibbs. They got him playing all over the place. And Goff has found some comfort when they moved Penei Sewell over to the other side. And he's been everything that he was advertised to be as an offensive lineman. The offensive line is actually pretty decent for them. So that's why I like Detroit. Now, Minnesota, I'm going to go ahead and get to the bombshell portion of this. I got Minnesota finishing last. The defense was terrible. Like the defense of Daniel Jones had one of the greatest playoff performances in history. Because
Minnesota of any defense, player who's ever anybody. Played football.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, in 72 years.
And we barely counted because we like, man, have you seen Minnesota's defense? So even though they got my man to come over as a defensive coordinator, the one who's suing the league, Brian Flores, even though they got him to come over, like they just don't have the players. Like they don't.
They got Harrison Smith.
They have parts, but they don't.
He's a Hall of Famer, but that ain't gonna be. He's just one guy. He's just one man.
Right. Yeah. Their safeties aren't good, and the corners are average at best. So, and which is why you saw Daniel Jones be able to do exactly whatever he wanted to against them.
And it kind of starts up front. Honestly, I think the corners are probably decent. As long as you could get they were just Daniel Jones. He didn't even look like Daniel Jones. That's no slight to him.
He was super
like Lamar Jackson.
Yes, that's there you go.
He had all kinds of options.
He had all kinds of time. So,
but also to kind of piggyback off what y'all saying with the Justin Jefferson portion, I think he's gonna be the tree in the forest that nobody heard fall. Like, I think he's gonna put up like 1,700 yards. And ain't nobody gonna care because they gonna
it's
be four.
Gonna be oh, down, so he's down by B-hop. 17. Yeah, you're down 17 in the fourth quarter, and
he catch 10 straight passes. Yeah, like, but it don't mean nothing. Like it's gonna be all for losing efforts. Especially because
Hopkins, Slant Boy.
Yes. Yeah. but because I think the Dalvin Cook portion, of him being gone. It hurts Kirk Cousins more than people are going to think.
Okay.
Because it all else fails, he could always dump it off to Dalvin Cook and at least make a positive play.
So do you think that's going to hurt him more than Thielen?
I think it's a totality thing. Like, you lost Thielen, lost a running back that catches the ball. Like, you started losing options. Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback as long as he has the options. He might be below average. Like, he ain't making something out of nothing.
I believe Kirk Cousins is like an A-list Andy Dalton.
I was getting ready to say Kirk Cousins tracks almost identical to Andy Dalton. And we see what Andy Dalton is without Marvin Harrison, Mohamed Sanu, AJ Green.
Yes. But that's exactly where they are right now. They got one wide receiver and everything else is suspect. So that Minnesota, I got finishing last. Now, this is where I start to, you know, a little bit more uncovering. I actually like Jordan Love, and I think he's going to play well. I'm not talking about you, Bill. I'm saying as a player,
I like him a lot.
I got the Packers finishing close to double digit wins. Like, I think he's going to be that good. See, you just snapped your neck. You don't really believe it.
You don't love for real.
Mainly because
when you say Paul, you were asleep. You were asleep at 12 o'clock when he was balling in college.
Right.
No, but I think one.
When he was aggying up. Where was you at?
But because he sat behind, he's gotten a chance to grow. He's gotten a chance to learn the playbook. But I think the key thing for him was, even though I hated the way Aaron Rodgers did him, because Aaron Rodgers didn't come into camp, he built a rapport with all the people that he's now throwing to.
These are strangers to him. Yeah.
Or right. not.
No, or I think not. He did. I think he did. Because even also, he played God when he came in dad, last game last year.
Did the what's our kid that we all rooted for that just passed?
Oh,
the boy from Arkansas.
Yeah.
Oh, God, Ryan Mallett.
Mallett. Just a gifted human, right?
Right.
And we all, anybody who ever saw him play was like, wow. But
it's up here. Yeah.
But Mallett was a little shaking the rump, you know, in the club at night.
Mallett had a little Johnny Football in him.
Yeah. Jordan loves teams to at least have his head on straight. And be, like, he went from not being able to call a play like his rookie year to now taking command of the huddle.
Here's the thing. Side note, and I don't mean to Malika Andrews this kid, but Malika Andrews this kid right quick. He got caught up with Lil Herb when he right before he got drafted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, like, that's not really anything because it's Herb, right?
Right.
But that was the one little knock that he had. Is that he got a little possession of some herb. Now, I don't consider that anything personally. I would rather him get caught with some herb than a bottle of liquor, personally.
Right, right.
That's just me.
Yeah, you just channeled all your Malika Andrews in 30 seconds.
Right,
man. Like, go ahead.
I'm going to go ahead and say I still got faith in him. Just because last year, he played well. I think, you know, through the preseason, he's going to gain experience there. But the main thing that I think that is going to come back to more of the fold, like we talk about Minnesota may have overachieved or, you know, certain things. I think the Packers defense underachieved last year, like completely.
Yeah.
And
like they were supposed to be. Yeah, they were supposed
to
be
the reason better than what they play. And so I think the combination of him not being bad and the defense being better is going to get them back where it's going to at least look like more of what the Packers were supposed to be last year. Not 13, 14 wins, but I got them in the double digit range.
Aaron Rodgers babied that defense.
Mm-hmm.
Because he would never throw interceptions and he'd throw the ball away. He led the league in throwaways every year.
He took the least amount of chances of any starting quarterback for the past, 4 or 5 years?
Right.
Which could be a good thing, or it could also be a bad thing because
That's going to be a factor, in my opinion,
yes,
between in the transition of the captainship. I don't know if Jordan Love is the kind of guy who's going to throw the ball away. He might have a little Mahomes in him. He might be more Favre than Rodgers.
But dig this, though. Like with Aaron Rodgers not throwing the ball like into harm's way, but throwing the ball into the ground,
right?
Stops the clock. It doesn't necessarily help the defense as much.
If you look at their defense and see where they were on the field, Aaron Rodgers.
I get the trade off of the field position versus clock, but the problem is they out on the field longer. Because
if I'm on your shot,
this is my take.
I'm starting.
But I personally think that he's going to be better, and I think the defense is going to be better. For however you want to dice it up, I think the defense is going to be better. I don't think Jordan Love is starting off as far back as a lot of other people may think he's starting off.
Okay,
Just because fair. They haven't seen.
Agree there.
So, and the Bears, I actually have finishing pretty decent. I think the Bears are now where Detroit was last year, where they have, I've talked about it in a previous conference, where they have mismatched parts. The Bears now have one wide receiver. They don't have, like, they got a one and they got some fours as far as wide receiver. They needed two. Like when
wow,
they start,
he said
when
they got a one and some fours.
They do. They got a tight end, you know, but he can't stay, you know, kind of healthy.
Who's the one?
The DJ Moore.
And
he's
gonna be all right.
I thought you was talking about Claypool. I was about to say
No. I got Claypool in the four. I'm with you. Like Claypool has the talent. I don't trust him as a football player. I don't know him as
he
a
has
human.
No football integrity.
I do not trust him as a football when when the Steelers have decided, I'm done. Like, there's nothing I can do with you. Like, the Steelers tolerated Antonio Brown through all kinds of things. I know he was putting up the numbers. I get this. But Claypool was supposed to be that.
Claypool was far more talented than Antonio Brown.
But I'm saying,
it wasn't even close, bro. Stop it.
Let me ask you a question. The only thing I was gonna say is, wasn't the Steelers moving off of Claypool more of a business decision?
No, it was about Pickett. It was about you couldn't have him in the same. Remember, we in group chat. Yeah, we used to say that all the time. Yeah. I was like,
I just thought
can't put that kid in the huddle with Pickett because he's going to ruin him.
I thought it was more of a maybe. No, looking back on you, probably I was thinking it was more of a we're not going to be able to pay him no way, and he's a malcontent. Mm-mm. So
body language, horrible attitude. Got it. Okay. All of the extra things that you don't want in a hurt in a human being.
So, to perfectly sum up his Steelers career was the moment where he caught the pass but didn't run the ball into the middle of the field.
Yes.
He just kind of walked or I don't like my man. Oh, my fault. He celebrated. He took time to celebrate while the clock
he celebrated while the clock was moving instead of giving the ball to the official.
Yeah. So that's he's a four until further notice. Yeah.
All right.
So I have them, they're mismatched in certain areas, especially also young on defense, got decent linebackers, okay D line. Like they got a corner, but not a weak side corner. They got one safety, but not a free safety. Like they just got they got a couple more drafts to go before they, can fill in the blank there. Because they drafted all secondary last year, like just to try to fix the secondary. Well, those cats got to grow up still. One of them is advanced, the other one's not yet. So it's just pieces. Since I'm already talking, might as well go ahead and just lay out the order again. So I got Detroit finishing with one. The Packers coming in with about 9 to 10 wins at two. I got the Bears actually taking a jump. Because for the people who don't remember last year, I said the Bears would have the worst record. So I ain't got them in the playoffs. They ain't going worst to first. But I got them with about 6 or 7 wins there. As a jump, I consider 5 win or 3 more
they
wins.
They won 3 last year, right?
Yeah. So
6 or 7 wins. That's
huge. I think that's significant. But then I got the Vikings falling back all the way back down to earth with maybe 5 wins or something like that, losing. Bad on the division there just because I don't think they have enough. So what say you, Rev?
So to be clear, I think the Packers are going to finish last in the division. It's not because I think that Jordan Love is the worst quarterback in the division. I just think he needs you need professional snaps.
He might be, I think he
needs time. Well, what I'm saying is even if he's worst –
if you line them all up, Jordan Love is actually by default.
Here's what I'm saying. I think
the worst quarterback in the division.
But I'm saying when I think it's kind of like Kenny Pickett. When it's all said and done, I don't know that he's going to be considered last in a division level quarterback. I think this may be a sneaky quarterback rich division.
Right. Kenny Pickett's a great analysis.
It ain't your fault, bro. Kenny Pickett. Yeah. And it's the same thing with Jordan Love. It's not your fault. You just play in a division with Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, and Justin Fields might be one of the most athletically talented
humans on the football field at any point.
Anywhere. Right.
Ever.
It's not your fault. But I say that only to say that I believe that my take on them next year is highly likely to be far drastically different than it is this year. I see Green Bay only winning about 6 games. Again, I think it's kind of like growing pains kind of thing. I have the Bears fighting really hard to get into the 9 and 10 win range, but really? I don't believe it's going to happen. I just think by virtue of playing in the NFC, they're going to sneak out some really easy wins. So I think they're going to go from what, like 3 wins to about, let's just say 9 wins. So I think they're going to pick up 5, 6, 7 games. But I still don't believe – it's hard for me to believe I'm saying this. I think I'm way higher on Kirk Cousins than you guys are. I think that there's a lot – as hard as I've been on him, because I just don't like him as a person, generally speaking.
That's cold-blooded.
The fact of the matter is, well, the fact of the matter is, but what I'm saying is this. I think his, you know how people talk about having a chip on your shoulder? I think Kirk Cousins has a legit chip on his shoulder. Like, it is Jordan-esque. I think that man hates the fact that he didn't get the love he felt like he deserved in Washington, even though he kept getting all that money when he was getting those franchise tags. The fact that he didn't get a long-term contract for, what was it, 3 or 4 consecutive years, I think that kind of chapped him a little bit. I honestly think that just on a pride level.
Let's put a pin in that. Not to cut you off. Let's not forget that he was drafted behind a guy that they traded up for to be number 2 overall.
Yeah.
So that's also there. So go ahead.
So yeah, and that's kind of my point. I think that he legit carries that chip. And I'll say this. People who know me would be like, oh my God, I can't believe you're saying it. I think Kirk Cousins is legitimately one of the most competitive people in it. I think humans. I think he really does care. I think he takes it seriously. And I think that's one of those intangibles that I just can't count him out.
Like, all of that being said, Kate Ledecky, right?
And that being said, I think that just to kind of clean it up here, I think it's going to be between them and the Lions. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this, and I know this is probably going to make Paul happy, but I kind of believe that Jared Goff also has that chip on his shoulder.
Of course.
Also has the same kind of, I'm going to prove it. And I think the city of Detroit, like you were talking about Dan Campbell, Andre, how everybody rallies around him because they're kind of younger and they buy into that rah-rah type of, you know, stuff that the veterans may not. I think everybody saw the way Jared Goff kind of got jettisoned away from the Rams. I think the whole city of Detroit is down on his luck. I think the Lions are down. I think everything about that place, it is the perfect storm. Mm-hmm. And I think the Lions are going to, by a game, beat out Minnesota for the division. I don't think Minnesota's going to take a humongous fall back, but you can't convince me that if you won 11 games by less than 4 points, you're going to get those same breaks 2 years in a row.
Right,
there's at least 3 or 4 games in there that they're going to fall back. Detroit picks up a couple games. They inch them out by a game. However, that being said, I think Minnesota and Detroit both get in by virtue of the fact that the NFC is not nearly as stacked as the AFC.
All right, Paul. Well, what's your order, Paul?
I got, of course, y'all know.
The Fighting Golfs?
I rock with golf. That's my guy.
That's the understatement of the decade.
Right, that's my guy. Pause. But I got them kind of in the same way I felt about the East, I feel about the North. I got nobody winning more than 11 games, and I have nobody losing. I'm sorry, and nobody winning less than 7.
Okay,
that's fair. I can kind
of make sense. So absolutely. I got Detroit coming in first, and then I have Green Bay actually. I think I have Green Bay actually both making the playoffs. I think Green Bay and Detroit get in. And I think Chicago barely misses the playoffs. And I have Minnesota coming in last because I believe Jefferson gets hurt.
Oh,
because
wow.
There's just too much.
He put men on the IR.
Yeah.
You're on the pup list, buddy.
Yeah. They're just asking too much of you, bro. You don't have no help.
Yeah.
You know, okay. 15 targets every Sunday. With no backside help.
You're right. That is a lot of
come on, bro.
For people who don't say that's a lot of targets. Forget actual receptions, runs after catch. that means you are putting yourself out in the line of fire. That's a lot. You're right.
I'm just saying, I'm just estimating at least 15 targets a Sunday.
That's all we got to throw to.
Right, because there's nobody else.
And Kurt will throw it
remember
to you.
Remember the Randy Ray show?
The worst thing that happened was that catch that Justin Jefferson came down with last year. He like, well, go ahead and get ready because I'm throwing it. I'm
doing it again. Right.
I'm just throwing it over there, bro. Go figure it out. Right. So, yeah, that's just the stress emotionally, physically. I don't believe he'll make it through the season. I don't believe he'll play 17 games. Or I'll say this. I don't believe he'll finish 17 games. There's a difference between playing and finishing 17 games, right?
That's true. Yeah.
I don't believe he'll complete 17 games this season, especially with that kind of stress. And without the running back, I feel them going all the way to the back. I believe the three, Detroit, Green Bay, and Chicago will actually be kind of locked up in an NFC type of way where it'll come down to December.
9 to 11 wins.
Yep.
For everybody, basically.
For everybody.
Okay.
But I got Detroit because they have the best QB1. And after that I would go with Green Bay because even though I like Fields, I believe that Jordan Love has more experience. In a weird way, I believe he still has more experience than Justin Fields, if that makes sense.
Well, he's been in the same offense for 4 years too, where Justin Fields is on his second offense and, you know, third head coach mm-hmm. and all this other stuff
within right. that
period. So
right. So I have more, I believe Jordan Love is more stable than Fields is. So that's what I'm going. And I just think that there's just too much stress on one player in Minneapolis.
So real quick before we wrap this up, I meant to bring this point up and I'm glad you said what you said. I think one of the other keys of this is that goes for Jordan Love versus the Justin Fields debate. Because Jordan Love has been with the Packers for this period of time at this mm-hmm. point, the play caller is going to be able to call plays based on what Jordan Love does well. Like, yes. They know who he is. Whereas mm-hmm. Justin Fields, my man was just running last year. Like, they still don't know overall what he does well yet. They have ideas on what they would like to see him do well. But I think they're still, like, I think his offensive coordinator is going to have to grow with him as well.
Well, so Jordan Love also knows who Jordan Love is. Yeah. Justin Fields does not even know who Justin Fields is yet.
He hadn't had a chance to. Like, it was like, hike, uh-oh. Out of here. Like that was his offense last year. Like, so
survive in advance is he just trying to make it the second down.
Right. So no, I dig that. But yeah, I just wanted to bring that last point up.
Yep.
Hut.
Okay. So here we are with the moment that I've been dreading and looking forward to, since we decided to go ahead and do this football recap, preview. So, we had the AFC North, and yes, I pronounced it correctly.
No,
with an F, because no. There's a lot going on in this division. Some hard hitting. There's some black and blue. This is a good old fashioned division that is an arms race. You know, the Bengals wide receivered up, the Ravens wide receivered up,
Steelers wide receivered up.
Like it. They all looked around and the Browns was like, well, don't leave us out. So let me go ahead and quarterback up.
Everybody quarterback up. Everybody wide receiver up. Everybody,
this is a beautiful division. This is a true arms race. So
yeah.
For this, we are definitely going to let Mr. Bingle, Mr. Hude, go last on this one. So I'm hesitating on which direction this can go.
It's all love.
I'm gonna let Paul go first. I'm gonna pray and just let go and let God.
I'm the cousin that don't nobody want to grab the mic at the funeral.
TP.
And this is
not a mic. TP. Go get him.
Yeah. So here we go. Yeah.
I'm gonna sit back and sip on this tea. Go ahead, like literally sip on tea. So go ahead, Paul. You got it.
Well, let's start with the young fella, because he's the easiest one to go with. Young fella in Steel Town. I like him. He don't know enough. I think they're gonna bring up the rear. I like the wide out. I like Najee. Of course, I love Tomlin. He's the best coach. It's not even close.
Right.
He's the best coach in the world, in my opinion, of any sport.
As painful as it is to say it.
Maybe Don Staley, but I don't know.
They neck and neck there. Like they definitely rarefied air. Once you get to that, you just picking pieces.
Right. Tomlin can make me play.
Right.
And Tomlin can call me
right now, and I'll be ready on Sunday.
Yep.
It's Saturday.
And it's Saturday. Right. Tomlin is great.
Yeah. Tomlin's that kind of dude for me. I believe, of course, that's a guaranteed 9 wins. I mean, let's just stop there. Nobody's going to not win 9 wins in that division.
Okay. We know the Steelers ain't.
Did I say that right?
I think we got it. Nobody's winning less than 9.
Nobody's winning less than 9 in that division. Then we got.
Go ahead. Rubber.
Old rub and tug up in Cleveland. I'm sorry, Billy's mom. I had to change some language on the. he told me. I try to keep it clean.
She ain't watching.
Right. So you ain't yeah, I try to keep it clean. But yeah, I call old boy old rub and tug. Deshaun Watson. Number 4, and he wore my number, so it's really hard for me to pause to like really deal with Cat. You know what I'm saying? Like, because he's a dude, right? Pause. But the whole rub and tuck thing, pause, right? Like, I feel like I'm Cameron right now.
I'm about to say, you've only said pause 5 times so far.
I know, but dude, like, he's a whole weirdo. He's a whole weirdo. I get it, man. I get it. I like
the talent is there. That is
he's until he decided that services were more important than playing football. He was one of the best humans to ever play quarterback. Period.
Skill set, period. Knowledge, everything. Top to bottom, right?
Top to bottom. He was, in my opinion, Steve McNair on steroids.
Yeah, that's a great comp.
That's what I saw when I watched him play with Steve McNair, but with so much more polish and so much more poise. Because, Clemson, HBCU, you get a different type of training.
I was going to say, he was D1 – Power 5 level Steve McNair.
Yeah. Right. And we'll see if he's going to be that again this year. I believe he will be. But then again, we got to go to the class of the division. Even though, the division doesn't have, a lower class.
There's no Houston Texans in the AFC North.
There's no lower class in this.
We all flying Southwest in this one. It's all one. You just pick your seat.
Yeah. So I will go. I'm going to go out on a limb just for television and radio sake. I'm going to take Lamar. I'm going to take the Ravens to win a division. I love Burrow, even though Billy feels otherwise. I love Burrow. I think he's a phenomenal player. I just don't think he's the best in the world. That's it. That's what we fight about. It's not whether I think he's good or bad. It's whether I think he's the best in the world or number 6.
Yeah, hold on. For the people who don't know, I just want you to give a preview of my life. So I might go to bed with a comment that hits in our group message about Joe Burrow. And I wake up and it's 72 messages that have a range of
65 of them are Billy
that has a range of emotions. Like we working through the five stages of grief, like all through the entire thing. And I'm like, what did I miss? Like, and this is only on an hour nap. Like this is just, this is my life.
I listen, I had a conference call. I come back.
So go ahead, Bob. I just need to follow us on streaming platforms. First off, thank y'all, but I just need to let y'all know what's going on.
Yes, Joe Burrow is a really, 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 really great football player. He's an excellent quarterback. He's not as good as Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes. That's it. That's my fight. That's literally my fight.
Who disagrees with you?
You.
I don't disagree with you, actually. I really
don't.
What
you do is you don't disagree, but what you do is you start like giving me like paragraphs. You know what I'm talking about, Dre. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
You just disagree, but you don't support it either. Like you start laying out your case for, well, I'm not saying he's not Patrick Mahomes, but, and then after that, but, and those three dots.
It's like, I
have literally never even made the Patrick Mahomes Joe Burrow comparison because I don't believe that is a fair comparison.
Now, the other day I was trolling you when the players rated Hurts over Burrow and you went off.
I didn't even know about it.
I know you didn't know about it.
You didn't know about it. As soon as he brought it up and he sent the one troll line, you went Eminem on us and just started going like rap god, like through the whole
Thing.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
Oh, man.
I still believe Lamar is the best quarterback in the division. I don't know. Billy's about to get upset, but he's the best quarterback in the division, bro. He's the only quarterback to have won an MVP. And I'll still stand on this, that Joe Burrow is the third best quarterback in the division. He is a phenomenal player. He's great. He might even go to Canton, but he's still only the third best quarterback in his division. I believe it'll come down to, I believe Lamar and them are going to run away with it if they can keep Lamar up. Lamar and OBJ, I believe. I don't know if they're outside of Pittsburgh, if there's a DB combination that can contain those two people.
What two?
OBJ and Lamar.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about like two receivers or something. I didn't know.
I'm talking about those two humans.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. I believe Minka is probably the baddest dude in the division. Minka and TJ are the two baddest cats in the division, in my opinion. Outside on the defensive end. And then you have, you got Chase. I believe he's the baddest man in the division, period. Okay. And then after Chase, I would say it's Lamar. But Lamar touches the ball every down, so that would move him ahead of Chase. You understand my math here?
I do.
Because Lamar touches the ball every down, that automatically ranks Lamar ahead of Chase. But I believe Chase is probably the most dangerous man in the division with the football. But, and then Lamar. Okay. So we've been talking about, or not we, because I haven't been on board with that. Folks have been talking about how the Bengals have had the Chiefs' number, right? And it hasn't been the Bengals. It's been those two safeties. Von Bell and Jesse Bates had Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce's number. That was it. Now we're going to have to see if the Bengals actually have their number or if it was those two boys they just didn't want to pay. Because I believe since those two safeties are gone, it's going to be different on that back end. You lost three-fourths of your secondary because Apple's down in Miami. So, and if you really look at the tape, it was the defense that was spearheading the playoff runs, not necessarily, you know, Joe Cool or even Chase. You understand what I'm saying? So I look for the Bengals actually to take a step back. I don't think the Bengals make playoffs this year. I believe the Ravens win the division, and I believe only one team out of that division gets into the playoffs. I believe it's Lamar and them.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Hey, that's what the show is for. I appreciate Billy for exercise. He's having to find a happy place.
Oh, so much restraint right now.
He has found his happy place. He is
right.
So
I love I believe the and actually I got the let me turn it. The Bengals finished behind the Browns and the Steelers. The Bengals finished in the rear of the division this year because of health of Joe Burrow's health, the lack of those two safeties on the back end. I believe the Bengals finished fourth in the division. And I believe the Steelers finished third, and I believe the Browns compete with the Ravens for the one playoff spot.
Wow. Okay. I'm glad you got that out then, because I didn't see that coming. I'll be honest.
We got to do it live for TV, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm a.
Why are you so? You still love me, Billy? Look at his face.
I'm breathing. I'm just taking it in. I just want to. You know, I'm taking the notes occasionally, make sure I heard it right. That's why I just want clarification. Okay. That's all.
I hope I'm wrong.
So I'll go ahead. I'll be brief. I promise, because it's not a lot for me to run through. I could bore y'all with stats and players and all that, but we'll save that. We got the shows coming out every Wednesday, so I'll save some of that for then. So I have the Ravens winning the division. For no other reason.
So we on the same page.
We are on the same page. I have the Ravens winning the division mainly because they're
the best player.
Also, like when you couple OBJ with Flowers and Bateman and Dobbins, like the Ravens actually are a whole problem at this point. Like, yes. I really do believe they're a whole problem offensively. Defense is still gonna be solid. The defense is gonna give you what their defense is gonna give you.
They lost Peters.
To me, I don't find that as bad just because Hamilton has taken a step forward from the safety position.
Peters was a corner. He was a nice corner.
He was a nice corner who
forced turnovers.
He did. But one, he was hurt a lot, or he was becoming more injured often. But also, I think because like the Raiders are going to shift Peters to a safety position at this point.
Oh, that's what's
happening. I think that's where he's at in his career. It's a natural progression. If you're a cover corner or, you know, that, then you get older, you become a zone corner. Then you go to safety. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how those players end up prolonging their career. So shout out to him. No disrespect to him.
I was hoping Cincinnati picked him up.
Yeah. No, I just think that Hamilton growing like is going to be huge in their defensive scheme. Okay. So that's that. I actually have the Bengals finishing second. I do. But the only reason I have them finishing second is because of Joe's health, not to finish the season, but to start the season. I actually don't think he's going to start the first couple games. But the first couple games are against divisional opponents. And then as we've seen, like last year, it takes a few games for him to get into the swing. Not to say they'll lose all the games that he starts or anything like that, but I can easily see the Bengals starting off 1-3 before they really start to get this thing rolling.
Which is what they've really done 2 years in a row.
Right.
Kind of rocky getting out the block.
But you can't do that.
I just don't think you can afford to do that this year. Of all the years, I don't think this is the year they can get away with it, is all I'm saying. I had the Bengals in the playoffs, so let's not, you know, get it twisted there. I just think the start this year versus – I think Lamar's going to remain healthy. I do believe the additional weapons help. I do think a new offense, like, and I do highlight the fact that the Bengals lost both safeties only from the standpoint that whoever's going to be playing safety, this is going to be your first time seeing Lamar Jackson. And this is your first time seeing the new offense. And this is the first time, like, I think there's certain things that give you experience, just like the Bengals have the experience when they play Kansas City to say, hey, we know how to play y'all. They don't know how to play Lamar yet, especially with this new offense. And when you get new players out there, like, Lamar's still fast. Like, it just looks different. So I think the experience level is why I have the Bengals finished in second in division. Still in the playoffs, just second. I have it's a toss-up to me between the Browns and the Steelers, though. I guess I'm kind of on the same boat with Paul that everybody's winning 9 games because the Steelers is somewhere written in sports code that the Steelers can't finish below 500 with Tomlin right. as the coach. So they go ahead and pencil him in for 9, and we'll see where it falls. I'm leaning more towards the Steelers finishing third in the division, mm-hmm. just because of the Tomlin factor. But I still have the Browns taking steps forward. It's just that window that they were in where, you know, Deshaun Watson's contract and things like that and being able to keep certain players and all of that kind of mirrors up. I have the Browns looking like the Texans from a few years ago where it's the Deshaun Watson show. And even though it's his show, like, it still might only get about 8-9 wins out of it. So I have the Browns and the Steelers kind of fighting it out for that last spot, but the Browns kind of getting left to the side by just from coaching factors. Stefanski is definitely on the hot seat because he's had his moment with a bunch of talent, Baker and Odell and all the people that he's had through his coaching tenure, and it hadn't equaled a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's one of the coaches on the hot seat, but I got them bringing up the rear. Like I said, I don't have a lot to add other than, you know,
well, let me ask you a question because I'm curious about this.
Mm-hmm.
You said that you have Lamar being healthy. What gives you reason to believe that he's going to stay healthy considering the past 3 seasons he hasn't finished?
Same thing that gives you reason to believe that Joe Burrow's going to be healthy.
I didn't say Joe Burrow's not healthy right now. I'm asking him a question about Lamar.
I have an answer. One, because he's going to be dropping back passing more. I don't think the demand on his body is going to be greater this season than it has been. I think he's still going to effectively use his legs. He still doesn't take direct shots a lot. The 2 times he's been hurt, because it's been the last 2 seasons. Don't slide the 3rd season there. It's been the last 2 seasons he's finished hurt. They've been from him in the pocket. I think
that's why I'm asking. It hit people, the misnomer about him, and honestly, I thought that was because he ran, he would put himself in vulnerable spots. It's actually been in the pocket, and so that's why I was asking, what makes you think that he's going to hold up better this year than in previous years in the pocket where he's gotten hurt?
Because the offense is geared more towards being a balanced offense with run and pass, as opposed to, like, most of their offensive sets from the past couple of years have been with linemen leaning forward because they're still more of a ground and pound kind of offense there. Whereas this time, I think they'll be more pass pro ready as an offensive line, which will increase his protection. I think that's just more of what I see. Plus, I think a lot of times with the way their offense was scripted, they didn't have wide receivers that were, you know, get open within first couple steps kind of segments. Like, so it caused him to hold on to the ball. The 2 times he got hurt, he was holding on to the ball because nobody was open. I think he has receivers that will get open this time to get rid of the ball there. So I think overall it's going to look
0.5 seconds of getting of release is a big deal.
Yes.
When you're talking about getting it to receivers.
Yes.
2.9 instead of 3.4. That's an eternity.
Right.
And because he has better weapons around him, but we definitely agree there. OBJ is a big difference maker.
I think also Bateman and Flowers also, like, the combination of the 3 give him more options than just Andrews. Like, it just turned into, like, whatever random dude who was on the outside wasn't open, I got to wait for Andrews to get open. Damn, somebody hit me in the back and I'm hurt. Like, I think just the overall scheme is going to look different to be able to get rid of the ball, to be able to play freer and not put himself in harm's way. He's just standing in the pocket waiting for, you know, 4 or 5 seconds. Like, I think this is going to look, it won't be Tom Brady fast, but I think it'll be a faster pace of getting rid of the ball than it has been in the past. So that's why I think he's going to be healthy.
All right. So is it my turn?
I believe that most of Lamar's injuries come from his release being elongated more than him holding the ball too long. Does that make sense?
Well, the two times he got hurt, though, he never got the pass off. Like, he didn't get...
That's my point.
Well, that's what... And what Paul's saying, not to... I'm not trying to correct Paul, but I think almost to add to that, I'll say, Lamar is one of those players that unfortunately doesn't get enough roughing penalties. And they would have been... They would have come up with new rules had he been a different quarterback. Some of those where he's been getting hit, taking those hits. Again, that's where that I agree that elongated delivery comes in, because honestly, had he been, you know, Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or somebody else,
had he been Cam Newton, let's not even say
There you go. Right.
Well, no, Cam Newton has a much quicker release.
No, I'm saying Cam actually suffered from the same problem in that they are considered runners. I'm not talking about color. I'm saying, you know, the fact that they're considered runners, they're tough, that kind of thing. I agree with you that it's more about his release, because a lot of them were while he's in the process and the tackle or lineman or whoever, the end gets there kind of late.
You're not going to get the roughing penalty with the ball in your hand.
That's my point. Yes.
If you got to get it out.
Yeah. If you get it out quicker.
And he doesn't get it out quick enough.
Yeah. I can see that. I haven't done.
That's my opinion. Now, that makes sense.
No, I get it. But both players that he got hurt, he got ran down from the backside.
Yes. Right.
So,
right.
So I mean, I get what you're saying. His release is weird. Like, he throws it overhand, sideways, underhand. Like, he does multiple arm angles.
He has arm. He has that level. I mean, Patrick Mahomes does the same thing. His arm talent is ridiculous. So it's not like he's a statue back there.
And we need to stop that too. His arm talent is ridiculous. Say that again, Rev.
No, I'm for real. His Lamar arm Jackson is...
has probably one of the top five arms in the entire league.
Yeah, agreed. Ain't no probably, in my opinion.
right.
I don't think it's even
like, we need to stop saying he can't throw.
Here's
stop.
What happened. Yeah, and that's what I was going to say.
Stop that. That pisses me off.
Well, yeah, because what happens is whenever you say, and that's the problem whenever we do stuff like this. If you offer a critique, people think you're hating, and it's not you're hating. Like what you were saying about Burrow, I've never considered you hating on Burrow. That's not it. What I'm saying is, like with Lamar, I don't think his release, I don't think his throwing, I don't think any of that's a problem, because it seems to be working fine for Patrick Mahomes. And I think they actually are similar in how they can get the ball out in different slots, okay?
Pat has different releases. Pat has a variety of releases.
And my
That's
point
why
is,
Pat Mahomes can do the things he does.
Right.
He's kind of like Favre or Cutler.
Yeah,
in that very regard. Much so.
He flicks it anywhere he wants to when he gets there.
Right.
But what I'm saying was, the reason why I was kind of drilling down on that is I agree with you. The only thing is, I think that Lamar, it's not that he doesn't get credit from pundits and critics and talking heads. I don't think that the referees, frankly, protect Lamar Jackson the way that he deserves to be protected.
They don't protect your boy, Joe Burrow, the way he deserves to protect.
Okay. And so with that, I think that I think there's a problem there. But anyway, I don't want to get too far off on that. Here's what – let me just – I'm going to go like I typically do. I'm going to go from bottom to the top.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Because I got some bombshells too.
Oh, okay.
I've got some bombshells too. Let me start by saying where I agree
with
Paul.
Okay.
I agree that the Bengals are going to take a step back. And when I say a step back, I don't believe it's missing the playoffs. I don't even necessarily believe it's not winning. I don't believe that they're going to win 12 games this year. However, I believe that this is going to be a war of attrition in this division. Yeah. I think I agree with both of you. I think nobody's losing more than 8 games.
Everybody's winning
except
8.
Except I do. Now, I'll say this, and this is where this is the first bombshell. I think that we are going to, and this is why I asked those questions first. I think and I mean this sincerely, I am so glad that Lamar Jackson got his money for a lot of reasons and all the different things we've talked about for the past 2 years.
Right.
I think that contract is going to set the Ravens back for the next 5 years because I don't think Lamar Jackson finishes this season healthy. I believe he's going to show and demonstrate that we just don't want to believe what our eyes are telling us. He can't finish seasons. And I think that the Ravens are going to finish last in that division. I believe the Ravens are going to finish at like 8-9, 9-8-ish, and they're going to be the bottom of that division. If they're not the bottom of the division, and maybe, oh, that's too hyperbolic, then it'll be Cleveland. And it's not because of anything other than the fact that while we focus so much on the quarterbacks, and you can argue positioning with that, I just think if you look at rosters, I think that, frankly, what we've seen from the Ravens the past two seasons is that their defense got depleted through injury. Their offensive skill players got depleted through injury. We forget they were they actually called me because I don't have an agent and asked me if I could give them some burn at the running back position the past couple of years because it was that bad. And I was like, why ain't y'all calling Andre? And they was like, nah, man. He said he don't do that no more. So they've been that depleted. And I don't know if it's an issue with the health, the training staff, or doctors or whatever.
I'm going the last two that you mentioned, the training staff, the weight person.
Okay, and whoever.
They got rid of all of them. All of them had to go. So
now here's the other thing I think, and this is definitely not anything with Lamar Jackson. I think we forget that when we're talking about coaches, when we're talking about systems, we forget that the Ravens are installing a new offensive system. Now, granted, it is, I believe that the guy from Georgia, I believe he is going to, it's going to be tailored more and fit Lamar more.
Todd Monken.
But I also, thank you. I believe Monken is going to actually give a system that, like you said, it doesn't leave them vulnerable to having to hold the ball for 6 seconds and scrambling around. But at the same time, it is new. Mm-hmm. And you don't get new systems installed and just think, oh, well, we just going to go out here with live bullets, roll the ball out there. Let's face it, OBJ, there's a reason why OBJ is playing for the Ravens. He hasn't been healthy. I think that we are overvaluing the Ravens. No disrespect to all those great players, because I believe that they would be scary 3 years ago to me. They would be my Super Bowl pick if you comprised this same set of players 3 years ago. They can't stay healthy. I think that Lamar is actually going to have – I think the Ravens are actually going to realize that not that it was a mistake – because I refuse to attach that to Lamar Jackson because I think he's too great a player and I like him as a human, as a person. But I think they're going to suffer because they're not going to be able, frankly, I think OBJ's addition is more, what do you call it, more bark than bite because he's got to stay on the field too. Now that we got that bombshell out the way, I'll get to the Browns. I don't believe that they have, it's not that they don't have a complete team. I don't think they have a complete team that will work in the AFC. You're only going to get 7 playoff teams in. They're going to come in like 9th in the conference, like somewhere in that range. It's not going to be because they're awful. I just don't believe that they're going to have enough, I think their running game is probably, if not the best, it's top two or three in the league. But people don't run the ball anymore. Not like that. As you can tell, but that's why the running back, we've been having all these conversations. We haven't talked much about it in these past several episodes. But that's why nobody really talked about paying running backs. The Browns have had the best running back room in the NFL for the past three seasons, since Baker Mayfield's been there. They've had the best running back room, or at least top three or five, for the past three seasons.
That's better.
They have not. My point is, running has been a strength. It is still a strength, and it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter. It's just not going to make a difference. They're still only a, at best, an 8 or 9 win team. I think you're going to have 2 500, and because it's an odd season with the number of games, 17, I don't know if it's going to be 8 wins or 9 wins or whatever, but I believe the Ravens and the Browns are both going to have somewhere between 8 and 9 wins. I believe that the Browns, they'll take a step forward, because I'm not going to be that disrespectful to your man. I believe Deshaun Watson is a pro.
Rubbing tug.
He weird, but he's a pro.
No, he don't. He's get a pro. Name. He rubbing tug from here on out.
Either way, a full season with the same stuff in place. He ain't dealing with lawsuits and paying nobody off and attorneys and whatever.
He still got one out there.
Okay, all I'm saying is that man got a fully guaranteed contract, generational wealth, like. The bottom line is he can focus like he couldn't focus last year. They were literally talking about how many games he's going to get. Whatever.
That's absolutely true.
So I believe he can actually focus.
And his salary is deferred. So he's only making $1 million this year.
Either way,
eventually they're coming home to roost.
They're going to have to pay him eventually.
Coming home to roost.
It could be that Bobby Bonilla contract for all I care. The point is he's not broke. He ain't never going to be broke again a day in his life. They got to pay that man his money. Yeah. So I believe he can focus. And I believe a year of focus, he got all that junk out the way last year. He's good enough that they will not only win 4 or 5 games. They'll win, 8, 9 games. Now,
if he's him, they going to win 10 plus.
I don't believe he's ever going to be him again. Just for the record, I don't believe he's ever going to be Houston Texans Watson again. But that's not saying much. He was, like you said, he's one of the best 4 or 5 actual football players to play the position, top to bottom, just intangibles and tangibles. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that he couldn't do in Houston.
Yeah,
it's a shame that he had O'Brien. We ain't got time to even go into that.
Jesus,
there's a lot.
A whole different show,
right? That's a whole that's a series right there. And I believe
him and Jeff Fisher, boy.
And with that, man. I'll say this, and I'll double back just a little bit with the Ravens. I think Harbaugh has gotten way too much leverage and credit out of those Joe Flacco years and Ray Lewis. And Terrell Suggs and the safety, Miami.
Ed Reed
years.
He got too much credit? Like,
no, I'm saying
there and it happened. Like,
What I'm saying is there are lots of I'll give you a name. I think that Mike Ditka got a lot of leverage out of having a really stacked team with a lot of talent. And that's not to say he's a bad coach. I'm not at all saying that Harbaugh is a bad coach. I'm saying I think sometimes the way that we view coaches, sometimes certain coaches get a little too much credit, just a little bit, and others don't get enough. So I think that he's going to get exposed.
Coaches don't make tackles.
He's going to get exposed is all I'm saying.
Who?
I think that Harbaugh is going to get exposed.
How?
Okay, let me finish. But I was only pointing out the reason why I think they're going to finish last.
Hey, he's what? How many years has he been a coach?
I don't think, and I think he's underachieved with Lamar Jackson. That's my point. You have a unanimous MVP, and everybody blames Lamar, and I'm the first one to throw out his record, how he's 1-4 in the playoffs. Guess what? That is coaching as well. He's been out.
Sean McVay gets exposed. Not John Harbaugh, bro.
John Harbaugh can't win with Lamar Jackson in the playoffs. I said what I said, period.
Now, let
me move on.
I want to hear what Andre got. Andre, his eyes are blinking. His eyes are twinkling. I want to hear what he has to say here.
But I got to keep him. So, one, we'll go. I think the word you're using for, like, I don't think he gets like too much reverence or anything like that. I think you're saying he's getting a lot of mileage off of the old playoff wins and Super Bowls.
Correct.
So I disagree. The okay, Ravens have had number one seeds. They've had one and two seeds and things like that. Like, did they underachieve in the playoffs? We'll go with yes.
That's all I'm saying.
Hold on.
It's every year.
But is that on Harbaugh or is it on the offensive coordinator who was trying out for a head coaching position and changing the damn offense to be more versatile and calling things that he's never called before? I just, you know, we've had this conversation.
But if he's the head coach,
he relies on his people to do their job.
Okay,
like now, he's a delegator. All I'm saying is
to be clear, we can agree to disagree. I don't want to make too fine a point of that because that's not the point. I don't have any real energy for Harbaugh. I just feel like bottom line is he has not served Lamar Jackson well, and I think that's going to blow up this year. That's all I'm saying.
How can you say he hasn't served him well when the man's been an MVP?
A unanimous MVP.
Because in the playoffs, which is where it all counts, 1-4.
1-3.
I'm sorry. So he's been in the league 6 years. He's only played in four playoff games. And anyway, we don't need to go down that road. They're going to finish last, so I'm done.
What was Peyton Manning's playoff record?
I don't care because he's retired. Nobody cares. I'm talking about Lamar Jackson and the Ravens are only going to win 7-8 games.
Wait a minute.
It's my time. The Ravens are going to finish last. Lamar's not going to finish the season healthy. And I believe that his contract long-term is going to hamper the Ravens to really ever be able to come back. And it's unfortunate because he's going to get all the heat and vitriol that I personally believe that Harbaugh deserves a lot of.
So who wins the division?
I'm getting there.
Because you got everybody taking a step back.
I believe record-wise, everybody is going to take a step back, except for the Browns, who are going to be more competitive this year.
Okay.
I still believe that it's going to be – personally, I believe that the Steelers, based on a tiebreaker, are going to get a wild card, and the Bengals win the division. I think the Bengals and the Steelers – are both probably going to finish. If it's not the same record, it's going to be one. Here's why. First, to the Steelers, I believe that Tomlin, like you said, let's just book it. They're going to win at least 9 games. Let's just call it what it is. So that's number one. Number two, I believe that the leap that a lot of these people are thinking, some of these other quarterbacks, Justin Fields and different ones, are going to make. I really do believe in the Steelers quarterback. I believe.
Oh, well, yeah. Pickett's going to be.
I'm not making any wild predictions because I haven't seen enough out of him as far as long-term career stuff. But I think Mike Tomlin was making it happen with Mason Rudolph. Like, he was figuring out how to basically win games 11 to 14 or lose games 17 to like 13. Like, I believe that Pickett I'm very high on that kid. Here's where I believe that, frankly, the Bengals are being undersold. I believe that they made a lot of improvements that people just kind of, because they've been relevant the past couple years, people just kind of like poo-poo and brush it off. I believe the tight end they got from Minnesota, was it Irv?
Ertz.
No. It's
Rudolph.
No. The
Ingram.
No. Minnesota. He came from Minnesota.
Stop naming people because all you keep saying is no.
Man, no. I'm saying the Bengals. They picked him up. It was Kirk Cousins. Like
Irv Smith Jr.
Irv Smith Jr. Thank you. I believe that he's actually better at his best than what they lost when my man went to the Jets. I believe that just as a actual pass catcher, route runner type player. So that's number one. I believe that the Bengals have easily top three skill position players. I also believe that Lou Anarumo doesn't get enough credit. And I hear y'all talking about the safeties, and they lost Bates. And they lost, and I love my man because he's a Buckeye, right? I believe that the defense not only is going to be fine, I believe that the defense is actually going to be well, because I believe that the offense is going to – I think that the offense isn't going to be playing catch-up. And that's because they're not – like Andre predicted it first last year. He told me, and I cried every week because I had – every week I watched the Bengals in the first 5 weeks of the season, and I cried because I was like, I got to hear this man's mouth. Because all he kept saying was, it's going to take the Bengals at least 4 or 5 weeks on that offensive line to gel. They're not having
to gel. Well, I told you they were going to lose to the Cowboys and the Steelers.
No, Andre. What I'm saying is, no, specifically, when he said, well, first of all, he said they're going to lose to Pittsburgh, and the way they lost just was painful. That was number one. But more importantly, what he said was so true. They have to gel. They have to learn each other in this system. They didn't have any returning starters to protect and keep Joe Burrow upright.
Joe Burrow lost y'all those two games. Because he
I'm not finished.
He wanted to go big.
All I'm saying is the Bengals aren't replacing coaches. They're not replacing systems. They have the least amount of questions of all four teams in the division. There's nobody coming in there that other than, I'll grant you, the safeties, and we can argue the tight end. They're not replacing any other key components. The Ravens are replacing an entire offense, right? And so I believe that just on that, I don't believe they're going to win 12 or 13 games. I believe it's going to be probably 11-win division. I believe that the Bengals and the Steelers both get in. I believe the Ravens bring up the rear.
Wow. The Ravens bring up the rear?
Yep. I don't believe Lamar plays more than 6 or 7 games.
That sounds like some haters. Wow.
That's why I asked, what gives you an indication that Lamar is going to play all 17?
He's the best quarterback in the division.
He hasn't done it. He hasn't played. For every slight that we have for anybody else.
We had the two-year sample. So he has done it before. Just the last
No. The last two seasons are the closest, nearest, like, sample size we have.
But I'm just saying, you said he has never done it. I didn't say he's never done it.
I said he has not done it. He hasn't done it in the past two seasons.
Didn't say that. Okay. That's not what you said. That's exactly what I said.
It'll be on tape.
Bro, Lamar Jackson is the best quarterback in the division.
And it doesn't matter if he can't.
And it's not even close.
He can't play.
And the second best quarterback in the division is in Cleveland.
He can't play.
Okay.
If you're telling me that Deshaun Watson is I'm not going to argue with you about him being better than Burrow. Only thing I'm going to say is this. Do you actually believe that Deshaun Watson has the same tools at his disposal that Joe Burrow does?
He don't need them. He's never had them, and he don't need them.
I just want to work on a hypothetical real quick since your hypothetical is that Lamar doesn't finish the season.
Yes.
What is the Ravens record if Lamar does?
I don't even know. The past two seasons?
You do know it's 13 wins.
Yeah, but you do know.
Okay. No, I'm just again because you put you're putting I'm it on saying, his health. Okay. All I'm asking is if he finished the season.
Granted, I'll let you have that. Now I will raise that is your hypothetical. I will raise you a hypothetical.
You never answered the question though.
I don't know. I said I don't know. That was my answer.
Is Lamar not the best QB1 in the division?
It doesn't matter because he doesn't have the best team.
Won't even answer the question.
It's
right?
not the he doesn't have the best team.
He don't.
It's irrelevant because at this point we are. I agree. I personally believe this is the most. This is quarterback wise, 1 through 4. This is the best quarterback division in football.
Top to bottom.
Name a better fourth quarterback in the division that's the AFC better than. West. So you're gonna okay. Well, okay, fine. You okay, great.
No,
you
can disagree with that.
No, he wants to take him over Pittsburgh. He wants to take Jimmy.
The AFC West has four better quarterbacks than the AFC North.
Fine.
Are you serious?
Okay, what I'm saying is fine. Second best.
I'm sorry, Jimmy Garoppolo is better than Kenny Pickett.
Great, fine. Second best. That's not really my point. That's not really my point, though. My point is that there is no team in this division that has a quarterback drop off that I believe costs them wins. There's nobody in the division that I believe is a liability at quarterback. They're got some other than what you might argue Pickett, but I feel like Tomlin's the best coach in the sport. So I feel like that offsets that. Only thing I'm saying is nobody wants to acknowledge it. The Bengals have very few questions anywhere on the field.
As safety, they have huge questions, bro.
Wait a second. Okay, I said the least. They have very few questions. And here's my point.
We got a wrap. 2023. We're in a passing league.
We got a wrap.
The Bengals lost literally two of the best pair of safeties that were in football.
Let me ask you. Let me ask you. I said the least. What part of least is not clear? Man. I said the least amount of questions on the field of the 53 man roster. Andre, let me ask you one more question. You said you gave me a hypothetical. Here's my hypothetical. Based on the past two seasons, if Joe Burrow is upright and they make the playoffs, what is your expected outcome for them?
They lose to the Ravens in the playoffs.
Based on what? What gives you
based on the fact that Snoop Huntley fumble is the only reason that the Ravens lost last year?
That's the only reason.
That is literally the only reason. Sam Hubbard
literally the only touchdown. Reason, bro.
Okay.
Shout out to Molar High School, though. Shout out to Mohawk.
Shout out to your alma mater. But that's the only reason. So the question. So here's all I'm saying. You can't simultaneously discount Lou Anarumo and what he's able to do. I'm not talking about him specifically.
Okay. I'm about to say because I think Lou is dope.
What I'm saying is you cannot simultaneously discount the Bengals as a team and make everything about Joe Burrow and what he does, knowing that Paul said it himself.
That's what Bengals fans do.
No, I'm not. No, listen. Paul, you just said earlier.
I shout out the whole team. I'm talking about Bell and Jesse Bates. Wilson. You talking about Joe Burrow.
No, I'm talking about you said it out of your lips, and I agree with you. The Bengals' defense is the reason for the season. That's the reason why they've gone as far as they have the past two years. I don't believe it's just because of Bates or Bell. I believe that Lou Anarumo has Big Red and Mahomes' number.
No doubt.
I don't believe it. Okay. But and so all I'm saying is
he made plays. I'm saying it's Bates.
You got new people out there, though. Lou can scheme it up. Those two new people and the new corner that's replacing,
getting a new quarterback.
My best friend, Eli Apple. I'm just saying
they the whole secondary, bro.
And all I'm saying is let's be consistent. The Steelers have replaced less people than the Browns.
The Steelers haven't had to replace their entire secondary in a passing league.
Okay. And all I'm saying is
the Ravens are replacing one person.
Here's all I'm saying. The Ravens were trash at the receiver position. And replacing and they're replacing an entire offense.
And they got better.
Okay. Bottom line is, I said what I said.
I'm fine
Bengals,
with it. I'm just
all I'm saying. We got to be consistent.
We try to be consistent with you.
So the Bengals. Well, all I'm saying, if the Bengals got to replace a couple players, and then the Ravens got to replace a couple players. I'm just trying to figure out what the difference
the
is.
Players that the Bengals have to replace are so important, though.
To you.
No, but you're saying the Bengals.
Are we really doing this?
Bengals are replacing two key people, or two key people from the defense, and another stalwart in Eli Apple. Like they're replacing those. I'm replacing trash with good people on the Ravens. Is all I'm saying.
No,
like,
you're replacing entire offensive system.
Okay,
bro. That
you're replacing like, entire that doesn't secondary. Work, like people change offensive systems all the time.
Which ones do that and win a Super Bowl? Which one do that and win in the playoffs?
Just an entire secondary wins a Super Bowl.
No, I'm talking about winning playoff games and getting to a Super Bowl. Who does that?
Right. He sipped syrup.
So I mean, the Chiefs replaced their offense when Patrick Mahomes won the Super Bowl. They didn't have Alex Smith. They had Patrick Mahomes. The offense was completely different.
No, actually, that's not how it worked. That is not how it worked.
Never mind. We about to wrap because now you're trying to tell me I don't know what I'm looking at.
No, I'm saying the Patriots beat them. That last Patriots, that was like, this is not revisionist history. This ain't about Patrick Mahomes.
So they didn't win the Super Bowl. You are correct. But they did. They came a false start away from making the Super Bowl.
The offense
changed and they did it. And they had success.
If you're telling me
the Tampa Bay the Tampa Bay Buccaneers replaced their offense and they won the Super Bowl.
And all I'm saying, here's all I'm saying. I'm gonna leave it at this. Lamar has been 1-3 in the playoffs.
No doubt.
If you're going to tell me that they're going to replace the whole offensive system and that's the fix, then okay. Godspeed, I'm with you.
I'm 100% telling you that's the fix.
I'm telling you, I do not believe that for a second. I believe his contract is going to be, it's going to prove to be something that sets the Ravens back for multiple seasons.
But we're talking about this season.
Okay. Well, this season, they're going to finish last.
Okay.
Hut!
All right. Well, that's a wrap for this session of the Gray Matters, where we have taken the time to cover each of the divisions in each of the conferences. Our next show, we will talk about our playoff predictions, picks to win the Super Bowl. Once again, we want to remind you that we are not a gambling show. We are not gambling experts.
And
if you have gambling picks, if you consider yourself somebody who wants to do it, do not do it based on what we have told you here today. If you have a problem, go get some help. We are not the place to do it. With that, it's been a lot of fun. Like I said, join us next time. We go through our playoff predictions and predict our ultimate Super Bowl winners. You're not going to want to miss it. Once again, thank you for joining us. If you have questions or comments, you'd like to join us, give us some feedback. We always invite that on all of our platforms. And then also, just a quick teaser, we will be joining you all this season every Wednesday to talk about recaps. Talking about what it is we disagree with and what happened, but also giving predictions on Thursday night and what's coming up. So feel free to keep following us here at The Gray Matters as we tackle the NFL all season long. Be blessed. Yeah.